This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Welcome back to The Night Shift right here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Anybody who listens to the show and knows Mark Lloyd knows that I'm an absolute fanatic when it comes to soul music and Motown. That is my bag. And the highlight of my 2019 was when I went to see the Ladies of the Supremes performing on the QE2. It's a memory I'll never forget. Not only was it a great memory the whole night, but the moments that a certain song was sang. A song called Free, that is one of my favourites, was performed by Suzy Green, who joins us on the line right now, the supreme voice herself. Suzy, how are you doing?
I'm fine, I'm wonderful. How are you today?
Good stuff. Now, let's just go back to that moment and that song, yes. Free. It's an absolute masterpiece. Just tell me about penning that tune and, of course, giving it to Denise Williams, who had a massive hit with it.
Sure. Well, Mark, I'm just so glad to hear you that you love Free. You know, the thing about it was I was in Wonderlove at the time, with singing with Stevie Wonder and his tremendous band.
Wow.
And Denise was in the group with me.
Okay.
She and Shirley Brewer were Wonderlove with Nate Watts on bass and Michael Cimbello on guitar and Raymond Pounds on the drums, and these guys, these phenomenal guys. It's just the most wonderful atmosphere for digging in as writers. We rehearsed every single day for 6 days, and then we'd have Sunday off. So we were family, you know. And
mm-hmm.
And when we'd go to rehearsal, Steve wouldn't be there most of the time. You know, he would do other things, be in the studio.
Yep.
And our job was to know his entire discography at the drop of a hat. So we dug in pretty hard, but we also wrote tremendous amounts of music
yeah.
while we were together. And the guys started, I remember Nate started playing the bass, and it just developed from that. It was just a tremendous thing that came out, you know. Nisi just went up, she was inspired, just like the rest of us were,
mm-hmm.
hopped up on that stage and started, you know, because we were very loose in the way that we would write. It was whoever would come up with the ideas, and
yeah.
then you would get the credit for that. She stepped up on the stage and just started singing the melody. And the lyrics just flew out. They just flew off my pen. What can I say? It was as if I wasn't responsible. But it was. I mean, it's very rare that a song, you know, there's a difference between crafting a song and it just flowing out of you. And this was meant to be.
Yeah.
I always say that about Free, because it came out. I wrote the lyrics quickly, and I went up to the stage and handed her the paper and said, sing this. And she did.
Yeah.
And it was magic. And it was in almost a Brazilian feel originally. But once she started performing it, because we opened the shows for Stevie, once she performed it, it was Maurice White in the audience one night listening and suggested to her that she record with them. And that was her first million seller.
Wow, what a
so
song.
So it was, yeah, it just, you know, you can't really put a finger on what it is about a song. But I always think, you know, people have different views of what freedom is. And at that time, I was a single woman. And, you know, you date, but, you know, I always wanted to be free.
I love it. I love it.
Hey.
Now, okay, so that was
how we
free.
Got it.
Yeah, brilliant song. I just want to go back a little bit further and come back to Stevie Wonder, because you were part of the backing singing band for Ray Charles as well. I mean, wow, talk about
That's
musical
right.
history. What was that experience like?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Ray Charles University.
Yeah.
It was my first time, actually. I was 18 when I met Ray. It was my first time traveling with a band, and for it to be a big band like that, you
yeah,
know, 18
yeah.
pieces.
Yeah.
It was my mother wanted to go with me. It was my first time from, I'm serious, yeah. my first time away from home.
Yeah, yeah.
Without my mother.
I bet your mother was terrified, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. With good reason.
Yeah, what's going to happen to my little girl?
I know. But he promised her he would take care of me. And he did, you know. He was a beautiful gentleman. He really was. A lot of people don't know the depths of, you know, they know what kind of music he sang and what a wonderful entertainer he was. But Ray would keep you laughing. You know, he had so much fun in his spirit. He was like a kid, you know, and yeah. he loved toys and little gadgets and things that he could take apart and put back together. And he'd listen to music from around the world. You know, I played him Jimi Hendrix Band of Gypsies. That was the first time you ever heard that.
So, from Ray Charles, and the last time I interviewed you, Suzai, we really focused in on the Supremes. And it wasn't until I got home and started reading up more about you that I saw that you'd appeared on one of my all-time favourite albums, which is Songs in the Key of Life, which is an epic album. And you've actually got some credits on there for a song duetting with Stevie Wonder.
Sure, Joy Inside My Tears.
Oh.
That was a very memorable time. Steve was going through a lot of emotional things at that time because he had been in a pretty bad accident. He almost died, you know, in a car accident, and where his driver had fallen asleep, and they ran up in the back of a pickup truck with some wood and things projecting out of it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it just sliced right through, and they didn't expect him to live, but he did. And, you know, it gives you a different perspective on life
yeah.
when something that extreme happens to you, you know. So I felt very blessed. I used to follow him around with a tape recorder, you know, because Steve is one of the most prolific writers that I've ever known.
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of many people that much music just pours out of. And I'd follow him around and record for him, you know, otherwise things would just, you know, come out and disappear.
Yeah.
Never
to be heard again.
Know?
I mean, that album,
exactly.
the songs on that album, everyone is epic. I mean, you know, it just is an album that I cannot stop playing. But there are a lot of comparisons. A lot of people think Inner Visions was his best work, but I think Songs in the Key
That's
of Life.
Pretty good.
What would you kind of, you know, if you had to choose one album, Suzai, what would it be?
Oh, don't make me choose. But, you know, Songs in the Key of Life was a special moment at a special time for him.
Yeah.
And it was the culmination, I think, of all of his skills and little tricks and doodads and the bits that you save,
mm-hmm.
you know, songs that mean so much to you. And it came together as a tour de force.
Mm.
But Inner Visions, I remember, what is the song? What's it called? About heaven. They say that heaven is 10 zillion light years away. You know,
yeah.
I mean, wow.
A little impromptu performance.
So many songs.
I know.
Yeah.
But you said,
you know, it's hard to pick.
You said when I met you last time that you came to a point where you felt it was time to move on from Stevie Wonder. And I said that must have been the hardest decision of your life. You got the opportunity to join the Supremes.
Sure.
What really, you know, pushed you to want to become part of the Supremes?
Well, it's a funny thing, isn't it? I mean, when opportunities fall in your lap, and I've always been I'm a person who would like to plan things, you know, but you plan, what do they say? You plan and then God laughs. So it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
But at that time, you know, Wonderlove was, at one point, I felt my band. You know, Steve was sick and he was recuperating from this, and it just came to a point where I had other things, other aspirations.
Yeah,
you
right,
know, as a,
right.
as a singer. And I love groups. I love singing with people. That was the hardest part, was leaving my babies, you know.
Yeah,
We were family. After a while, you know, you live on the road together and we were like glorified teenagers. You know, you got somebody else paying for everything. And it was just so much fun. And we were so free with our creativity and the ideas. It was was like a think tank, you know, brilliant musicians. To get the opportunity to work with musicians like that is such an honor anyway. But that's always been my blessing. You know, I've been surrounded by great musicians all my life. But when this came up, my mother came to me and told me that she'd been told by Bob Jones, who was the head of publicity at Motown, that Cindy Birdsong was going to leave the group. They were looking for someone with my kind of outgoing nature, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love glamour. I love being glamorous. And, you know, I'm a diva in the sense of
for sure,
the look,
for sure.
You know, but I'm really down to earth. You know, I love people. I love new experiences, and it just fit. I don't hesitate if something, it's the spirit of the thing, you know, with me always. I don't hesitate. And when she suggested it, I said, well, that sounds good. You know, that sounds like something I'd enjoy. And it was. You know, it was a tremendous honor to be in that great company with Mary Wilson and Sherry Payne. Just Sherry is just really a tremendous singer and writer and creator. And Mary always could hold it down. You know, she's a fabulous entertainer. So we fit in a way that we had a perfect blend, which was something that you usually have to strive for, you know, or rehearse into. But we didn't have to do that. We felt each other, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you have that, it's a special blessing. And we knew that. So we were the first group of Supremes who had the total musicality. You know, all three of us could sing leads and could sing backgrounds very strongly. And then there was the writing thing. I, of course, was told that was the draw, you see, was I was told that I'd be able to write and produce for the group. But then, of course, that didn't come about because stuff happens and people don't always tell you the truth.
talking about your writing, Susai, another fact I didn't know until I dug a little bit deeper was that you had a track on Off the Wall, the Michael Jackson album. I mean,
I can't help it with him. Oh. And we've written a lot of songs. We're writing some things now. Ooh, did I say that out loud?
Yes, you did. I'll quote you on that.
I know. Okay. But, you know, it was a moment in time, once again, when you're right in the right spot. And when he handed me that, you know, Steve writes like, stream of consciousness. Mm-hmm. You know, he just starts mumbling things out. And he came out with, that was all he had to it, you know.
Yeah. And there we are.
And we sat down at the piano, you know.
And it arrives on the Michael Jackson album. You spoke to a little bit earlier about, you know, you could all sing lead, you could all sing backing vocals.
Yes.
And I've watched that movie, 20 Feet from Stardom, which is all about backing singers. And, you know, what a wonderful production it was. And, you know, do you enjoy singing backup vocals as much as lead? And is it very, very much a different skill?
It is a very different skill. You know, it's the foundation along with the band, if you look at it that way. But see, Ray Charles taught me that you sing background parts like they are a lead. You know, that gives you the conviction of spirit, gives you the soul of it. When you sing it like, you know, makes you sing it like you mean it.
Yeah.
And when you look at it that way, and I really loved, I was one of the first people interviewed for that movie, for 20 Feet from Stardom.
Yeah.
When you feel that way and you're joyous for other people's success, if you can understand what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, you're happy that you are supporting other people this way in the background.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're a lead singer, you're a lead singer. And I've always done both. So they were separate things, separate places. But, you know, here in L.A., there's a whole underground of background singers who work all the time, and it keeps you working.
Keeps you on your toes
as
well, I guess.
Well.
It's just been an absolute honor for me to interview you and talk a little bit more about the Supremes, about the other work that you've done. You have my total respect as a performer and as a singer. And I just hope that we see you back here in Dubai one fine day. And
thank you
so much for being on the show.
I will always come to Dubai. I love Dubai. And thank you for asking me. I really appreciate it. You stay safe and be well.
Same to you. That's Susie Green of the Supremes live on the show.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.